All right, good evening and Merry Christmas. Like I said just a minute ago, my name is Pastor Paul, and I serve as one of the pastors here. It's so good to see so many of you and welcome you. If you've been here at Terra for a while, or if you're new with us, if you're family and friends, welcome. We're so happy that you're here celebrating Christmas with us. And Christmas has that sneaky habit of coming every year on December 24th and December 25th. It's every year, 365 days tick off, and we're right back to a very familiar place of celebrating Christmas. And in many ways, Christmas is a machine that comes to us every year. Yet in a different way, we come to Christmas differently each year as well. And here's what I mean, is that my journey here tonight even isn't the same as your journey, or that my journey here tonight isn't the same journey that I was on last Christmas either. We've all arrived here from a different life path. We may be here in different emotional states. We might be filled with joy. We might be busy. We might be engaged, ready to be married in a few months. We might be newly married. We might have new children. We might be older. We might be sad because of lost loved ones. All of these things bring us to Christmas differently each year. And that life brings us to Christmas each year, but on a different path. And this is one of the things that I love about the Christmas story in the Bible. In the first coming of the Christmas, the entrance of God into the world as a human, it intersected people in all sorts and places and lives. You have Mary and Joseph, the young engaged couple about ready to be married. You have the wise men on the thousands of miles away searching the skies for clues for a creator. You have Herod, who's a king, and he's not looking for any other king to be born. And you have the shepherds minding their business and just doing their work like any other night. But God steps in and intervenes in all of these people's lives. And the beauty of that truth reminds us of what the angels sing in the Luke passage we already read, that this is good news for all people, the wise, the lowly, the simple, the married, the unmarried, the prideful, the normal, the kings, the shepherds, the Jews, the Gentiles, the male, the females, the old and the young. All people, wherever you are tonight, this story is for you. And yet, while the story is for everyone, some are going to treasure this story more deeply than others and more sweetly because it's going to meet an exact known or felt need in your life. So I want to reread a passage that we already read in Luke 2 and then just focus in on the shepherd's journey for a few minutes. This should be on the screen behind me as well. But Luke 2, I want to pick up in verse 8. We read this just a few minutes ago. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. So these shepherds going about their evening shift, a night like any other night, doing their unappreciated work that nobody took notice of. These are folks that lived on the margin of society. They weren't looking for or expecting anything different on this night. Maybe the stars were radiant, one of those kind of Adirondack nights when the stars are just glorious. Maybe it was cloudy and just so dark you couldn't even see your face in front of your hand. Perhaps there's a fire crackling nearby for warmth. This is probably just another normal night of being a shepherd of sheep. A few more hours and dawn will come. But God entered their story on that night. An angel appears, and we're told that glory shines and radiates, and the shepherds are filled with fear. The natural and consistent response to God's glory being put on display, rightly seeing and hearing from God, brings with it fear. A humble fear should accompany God's presence, that God is altogether different from us, distinct from us. And when we experience this, we know it. We feel it. And it's in this place of God's presence that there comes awaken in us a felt need of something to rescue us, to guard us, to protect us, to somehow bridge this gap from between holy glory and just this small, broken man. Who am I that God would consider me? And this is the predicament that the shepherds find themselves in a dark night that is now lit up with God's glory. And it's a place we all must arrive at as well, that the starkness of God's presence should usher in a humble fear in our lives. But the grace of God doesn't want us to remain there, doesn't allow us to stay there, for he's a God of comfort as well. And I think we see God usher in his comfort for the shepherds in two ways. And I think it's the same way that he ushers in comfort in our lives as well. He speaks to them and he invites them into the worship of him. His words and his worship of him calm our fears. In the midst of this dark night where now it's just lit up, it doesn't just stay there. God now speaks and he gives words that are good news. He speaks to them with his own voice. Good news and great joy for all people, for you, a savior, a messiah, the hope of mankind. That which you know you need in the depths of your soul has now come, a savior. And then he peels back the clouds and invites them in to witness the worship that is going on in the midst of this great event of God coming to be with us. He gives them a glimpse into heavenly worship. And I think it's these two things that calm our fears and even ease our doubts in the midst of our own lives. Hearing from God through his word and joining together in community to worship the goodness and the greatness of our Lord. And it's this process of moving from fear to comfort. Yes, God brings us to a place of fear. He calms our fears by his own sense of comfort. But then I think God goes one step further as well. He calls us to a place of faith. Fear to comfort to faith. And we see this in the shepherd's story as well. He's appeared. There's the fear that's there. The shepherds have humbled themselves. They've gotten low. And we know that God loves to exalt the lowly and the humble. He speaks and he calms fears. And then he invites the shepherds to go and see for yourselves. Go to Bethlehem. And this is what you're going to find. This is going to be your proof that what I said is true. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Go and see this Savior. Know him. Hear him. Introduce yourselves to him. And I love the shepherd's response. The angels go away and they go instantly. Now, there's no waiting. We're told that with haste, they make their way towards Bethlehem. The shepherds model a response of faith in the quickness of their action, but also in their words. Like they don't, when the angels disappear, they don't say, let's go over to Bethlehem. Let's see if this thing actually played out the way that God said it played out. No, what they say is an affirmative, it's a past tense statement. They say, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. They believed it had happened before they even took one step towards Bethlehem. And this is even reminiscent of Abram's faith journey, which if you've been with us at Terra Nova, we've been following for the past few months on Sundays, that Abraham believed God's promises before he even set one foot to go on the path that God had called him to do. And this is just another glimpse, another critical reminder that the journey of faith is full of going to and believing in that which the eye has not yet seen, but God has said is true. This is the faith that God loves to reward. This is faith that results in immediate action that we see in shepherds. And sure enough, the shepherds found exactly what God said they would find. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This was the Savior that was promised. And we know that the shepherds knew this to be true by the way that they reacted, that this little baby was the Savior by the way they responded. The text tells us that when they saw the baby, they immediately told Mary and Joseph what the angels had told them. They couldn't help but share this good news that just minutes before the angels had given to them. They preached then and there the first sermon recorded announcing the arrival of a Savior to the Savior's parents. Like, I wonder if they even thought that maybe, do you know who your baby is? Because God just told us who your baby is. And do you know that this is the Savior of all people? Not just some people, but all people. Do you know that? These shepherds of sheep became transformed into shepherds of people, guiding others to the Savior that they had come to know. And this is a pattern of those whose lives genuinely intersect in a meaningful way their Savior with Jesus Christ. They cannot help but share his story. They cannot but help sing his song. They cannot but help shepherd others to the same Lord and Savior that has saved them. And then Luke leaves us in verses 18 and 19 with how the others had responded to the shepherd's news. Many wondered at what they had said. Mary treasured the news. Many wonder. Isn't that interesting? It's fascinating. Man, if that's true, that's a tale of tales right there. That's a big fish tale right there. All throughout Luke, after this, in the Gospel of Luke, we're told that people wondered and are amazed at the life and the teachings of Jesus. Many people throughout the last 2,000 years have wondered about this Christ, who he is and what he said and what he taught. But we're called to more than just wonder about Christ. We're called to the same response of the shepherds and Mary. We're called to treasure this news. It's more than a wondering. It's a cherishing. It's a valuing. It's a celebration of this valuable thing that we now have. It's a holding tight to. It's a life-changing event that now radically changes everything. I don't wonder if my wife loves me. I treasure the fact that my wife loves me. I don't want my children to wonder if their father loves them. I want them to treasure the fact that their father loves them. And we treasure gifts we know we need and we want, but we cannot get any way other than the benevolence of the gift giver. So how about you? What's the journey? What's the path that has brought you here tonight, this Christmas season? Does the journey come with a felt, perceived, or known need for a Savior? If so, man, there is great news for you tonight that all people, for you, a Savior has come. I invite you to come and see this. And I think this is critically important as to why we need Christmas to come to us each year. Because it's a new and fresh opportunity for us to see that this child, this is now God with us, Emmanuel, that we have a Savior who has now come to be with us. This is great news to treasure and to celebrate. that in the deepest darkness, in the moment that we most needed it, the light of Christ, the glory and the radiance of our God pierces through, and our Savior brings light to our own spiritual blindness and darkness. This is the beauty of Christmas and what has come to us and changes our lives. This is why we celebrate with the tradition of lighting candles at Christmas, because it's that first flicker of light and love that came with Christ that we celebrate. We look and we see that candle representing, but now we, like the shepherds, are to take that light into the world around us, rejoicing and praising God, carrying forth the light of Christ into a dark world, pushing back against all that is dark with hope, with peace, with joy, with love, and with the great news that we have a Savior. He has come to be with us. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing two final songs as we light our candles as well, which Matt will give you more instructions on after I pray. Father, what great news that this is. Like, how big and great you are, and yet you're mindful of us to actually step into our time and place and become our Savior. Man, that is such great news that I'm grateful for, and I just pray we don't lose sight of that joy. We don't lose sight of that hope. We don't stop longing for you to come again. Because yeah, you've come to make all this brokenness new, but there's still work to be done. And so, Father, we celebrate you and the birth of Christ today, but we also long for the return of Christ to come again. Father, we give you great joy and great thanks for all gifts have come from you. Thank you. Amen.